Hi, I'm Heather Burrell, and I'll be reading an excerpt from a new story recently nominated for the Journey Prize. The story alternates between the points of view of three sisters, aged 12, 10, and 6. Brianna Susanna Alana. Alana. On the day of the murder, Alana had been walking home with her friend Zoe when three boys they did not recognize slouched out from behind a parked car. "Hey," said one, and hiked up his pants. "My friend wants to do you bitches hard and anal." Zoe turned to Alana, giggling. "What should I say?" Alana shrugged. She liked the look of one of the boys, his half-up, half-down mouth and red Nike jacket. He sucked his teeth at her, eyed her chest. "What should I say?" Zoe hissed. Alana shook her head. So they did not say anything, but let two of the boys follow them to a nearby Starbucks, where the girls bought chai lattes and sat down to sip at the foam. Two tables over, the boys lounged with their knees akimbo, flicking sugar packets at each other. Alana and Zoe began a conversation that required them to laugh and twirl their hair. They pretended they knew what they were talking about. Dialogue, thought Alana. We're doing dialogue. When one of the boys got up and began walking towards them, they leaned in across the table so that their foreheads almost touched. They smiled at each other. The boy pulled up a chair. "Hey," he said. It was not Alana's boy. "Hey," said Zoe. "Me and my boys are going to the ravine. Catch fish or something." "Yeah," said Alana's boy, now standing behind the first boy. "Or something." He pinched his fingers together, drew deeply on an invisible joint. "Cool," said Zoe to the first boy. "What's your name?" "I'm Daryl." He looked for a green moment as though he might have said the wrong thing. Alana opened her eyes wide because she knew she could appear almost Chinese if she relaxed and was not careful, and because some part of her felt more alert. "And this is Jordan," said Daryl. "Cool," said Zoe again. The boys sat down and pulled more sugar packets from their pockets. Susanna. Susanna could not remember the day of the murder, nor could she invent it, although she cast mightily back into her mind. This was bizarre, since memories, their particular bents and textures, were usually her strong suit. At home, they didn't really talk about it. "In our own backyard," she heard her mother say on the phone. "Your friends and neighbors," her father sighed to himself over the headlines. The problem with the mystery, in Susanna's view, was that the most pressing W questions, who, what, where, when, had already been answered. The criminal had been caught. The only leftover was why. And finding why after the death, after the arrest, was a problem. How did you dig deep into the clues that led into other people's brains? The motive, that's what Susanna was looking for. What Susanna did remember was an afternoon 2 days after the murder, walking home by herself thinking about the motive and the concept of evolution. She knew that sometimes ideas in books that had nothing to do with the mystery at hand could loop you back towards a solution. There was a book she was reading now, one of her mother's, a science book about the origins of the human race. She didn't understand most of it, just read the words like a robot when she wanted to relax. But there were a few pages that had stuck with her. A section explaining our ancestry, way back before kings and queens and ancient castles. It was about chimpanzees, apes and humans, mothers all holding hands with their children around the entire earth, as if the earth were time, the distance, years, then turning to face each other as cousins, as relations. What the author was trying to show was that blood and time could not really separate us from the animals we were and always had been. What it meant was that we were actually animals, but animals who could write books about how we are actually animals, animals who murdered for complicated reasons. This was confusing in the best kind of way. She liked it when she had to fight to keep things straight. There were lots of leaves on the streets, but rain had clumped them up with mud and pollution. Even so, Susanna dragged her feet through the gutters happily. When she got home, she would have the entire house to herself. Alana was at piano, and Brianna had playgroup. On Wednesdays, Susanna was the latchkey kid. Brianna. The day of the murder, Brianna hid behind her favorite tree in the schoolyard at pickup time. She watched her teacher, Ms. Sawchuk, talking to her babysitter, Frances, who nodded, then shifted her shoulders up and down quickly. Then she saw Caroline, a fat, wily, lively girl from the grade 2 class, skip up to the two grown-ups and point towards the tree. Brianna pressed her cheek hard into the bark. She turned her face and kissed the trunk with all the tenderness she could muster. "Goodbye, friend," she said. Then Frances hauled her out and pulled her towards the car, which was a modern station wagon named Saturn. "That was very naughty," said Frances, once belted in. She turned the key in the ignition, and the car roared to life. "I was so worried." "Hello, Saturn," Brianna called from the back seat.